I invite you to remain standing to bow your heads with me and unite in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are the God who loves us so greatly, even if you have done nothing on our behalf. Thank you, God, for who you are. We are grateful to be able to gather as a church of the living God. We praise you, Lord, for you are good. We worship you with reverence and awe. Please guide our hearts to respond to your word today. May we grow in love and the knowledge of God. May you convict us, direct us, and revive us. Lord, hear our prayers as we make petitions and intercessions for all people. We pray for our church, our community, and our world, that your light would outshine the darkness. We thank you for your boundless love, for we are confident that our prayers are being heard and being answered. Please give strength and renew hope to your people. We continue to pray for the conflicts between Russia and Ukraine and between Israel and the Palestinians. We pray that you intervene and bring about repentance and resolution and protect those innocent lives. You are strong and mighty to save. Lord, give us a sincere and humble heart and remove any hypocrisy that pretends to love and obey you when we fail to do so. Any hypocrisy that thinks of ourselves as religious, but fail to care for the poor, the orphans, and widows in their affliction. We confess that we have been overly blessed with material goods. Speak, O Lord, how we can be more generous to help others with an attitude of gratitude to God. We confess our shortcomings and outright sins. Please forgive us, Lord. Have mercy on us and move us to extend your mercy towards others. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, be glorified. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the first epistle to the Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, followed by Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 21. We will read from the ESV translation, the English Standard Version. So let us continue to stand for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 21. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it is the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew laid around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they say to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." Then the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave it, any of it, over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Good morning. I am Pastor Sandy, and I'm delighted to worship with you today. Before we celebrate the long Thanksgiving weekend with lots of food, family, and friends, be reminded that we should practice an attitude of gratitude always and in every circumstance. Let's always be thankful. Everywhere you turn these days, people are hurting and searching for hope. Your attitude of gratitude can bring joy to you and to others within your reach. There are seasons of life when we may find ourselves immersed in heartache, anxiety, and hardship. Even in our church today, dear brothers and sisters need love and support. Let's be generous to care for one another and pray nonstop. God has abundantly blessed us. Let's not forget the goodness of God, how the Lord has worked powerfully to transform us and save us. We know that no one is exempt from troubles, rejection, even persecution along our life journey. When an old door closes, God may be leading us to a new opportunity, to a better place. We might not even recognize that blessing in disguise when it appears ordinary. A man who was well-to-do enjoyed buying his father unusual and exotic presents. For one birthday, this man found an amazing gift for his father that was truly unique. It was a talking bird that could speak 5 languages, plus even sing a song standing on 1 foot. So he purchased the bird and had it sent to his father for his birthday. A few days later, the man went over to his father's house to see if he was enjoying this unique and expensive gift. When he arrived at the house, he smiled and said, "Hey, Dad, did you get my present?" And the father said, I sure did. The son was excited. Well, how did you like it? And the father said, thank you, son. It was so delicious. Obviously, the dad had missed the point of his son's prize bird. And so he treated it like an ordinary chicken. And too often, that's how we treat some of the gifts that God gives us. It is my prayer today that we will all live with an attitude of gratitude. Since we initially receive something with great thanksgiving, after a little while, we may lose interest in that when the novelty dwindles. Both the giver and the gift may be forgotten. For example, your daughter begs you to get a cute little puppy as a new pet. She promises to feed it, to walk it, and to play with it. So you buy her the dog. At first, she was very grateful and did a great job until she realized taking care of a puppy took a lot of effort. It poops a lot. It has accidents. It demands so much attention. And buying doggy toys, that's expensive. She complains eventually that her puppy is no longer that cute. And now you own a puppy. A second example, a man had to work hard to land his dream job. So he works hard and he is hired with a good salary and a signing bonus. He is very grateful until he realized it demanded long hours. It had constant stress. He had no more leisure time. It was project after project. And then he reached the point of burnout and complained that his boss expects too much. Now, these are not perfect examples, and I'm not suggesting that an unhealthy work environment should be maintained. But some prized gifts take hard work and sacrifice to enjoy, such as planting a church, or nurturing a healthy marriage, or raising children, or sharing the gospel and growing a ministry. There is wisdom in being joyful always, pray unceasingly, and give thanks in good times and bad. In the Thessalonian church, an attitude of gratitude helps to advance the gospel. Thanksgiving advances the gospel. The Apostle Paul has a special love for this young Thessalonian church who fearlessly and joyfully advanced the gospel regardless of the opposition. Paul wrote in chapter 1, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. In chapter 2, verse 8, he says, we loved you so much. And in chapter 2, 17, it says, our intense longing to see you. Paul loved this church. On his second missionary journey, Paul and Silas first brought the gospel to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. Paul and Silas and Timothy spent only 3 weeks at a minimum because it tells us that they spent 3 Sabbath days with them, sharing the gospel with the Jews and God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women, it says. Some scholars actually believe that they spent about 3 months together, but in any case, it was a brief and good ministry together. The gospel came to them by word, in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. When a mob rioted and persecution broke out, the believers in that place sent Paul and Silas away for safety. but Timothy stayed behind. For from Timothy's updates, Paul learned that these Thessalonian believers remained faithful amidst the persecution, and they advanced the gospel. Paul's affection and concern led them to encourage these new converts as they thrived in persecution. The First Thessalonians letter is believed to be the earliest of Paul's epistles. Paul told them what to expect next as a young church. He said, trials will come, but build one another up in love and faith. God has entrusted the gospel to you. He also said, in a nutshell, temptations will come to you, but live it with purity and holiness so that you walk in a manner that is worthy of God. And then he reminded them, Jesus will come again. So live with hope of your salvation and with future hope. Don't live like others with no hope. Stand strong until Jesus returns. And in Paul's final instructions to them in verses 5:16 to 18, he gives us three imperatives in one sweeping breath. This is the shortest sentence of three verses in Scripture. And he says unconditionally, this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. It is not a piece of advice. It is not optional. It is not just a suggestion. It says that this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus with these three simple things. Rejoice always. Be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. Be dependent on God continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in everything. Whether in tragedy or in the best of times, it is God's will for you to turn to Him and find a way to be joyful, to pray, and to give thanks. Always, all the time, without end. Instead of focusing our energy on the problem, we turn to the problem solver. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, we remember what we do have. And instead of getting angry and bitter and repaying evil for evil, we remember to give thanks to God for what He has done. Thanksgiving is contagious in any community, and joy is infectious, like in the early church in Acts chapter 2. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their joy with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Their joy and gratitude was so infectious that it drew others into thankfulness and happiness. It can advance the gospel. Just as gratitude is contagious, ungratefulness can be equally contagious. Ungratefulness detours faith. As Bob Lynn mentioned last week in his sermon in 1 Corinthians 10, the people of Israel exhibited an unparalleled example of ungratefulness. And when we talk about gratitude, we must recognize that the absence of gratitude negatively impacts the whole community as well. What is astounding is the gratefulness. The ungratefulness was not isolated to a few handful of Hebrews, but it was like a cancer that spread in their community in a very short time. Where gratitude can advance the gospel, ungratefulness can detour faith in the opposite direction. The Hebrews spent 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Essentially, they were all born into slavery and never knew a day in their life for freedom. The Egyptians assigned them to hard work, back-breaking brick-and-mortar work, labor-intensive field work. The Lord heard the groanings and cries of his people. The Lord remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the Lord positioned Moses and Aaron to deliver them from their miserable lives in Egypt. And then miracle after miracle, the Israelites saw Moses go up against Pharaoh. They witnessed and experienced plague after plague, and they smelled death. The Lord God said, "Let my people go." And with a hardened heart, Pharaoh refused, "No." Then the plague of water turned into blood. The fish died and it stank. This destroyed their drinking water supply. And then again, "Let my people go." Again, "No." Then the plague of frogs swarmed all over their land and homes and died all over the land, and the land stank. "Let my people go." And again, "No." And then the plague of gnats fell upon every man and beast. Then the plague of flies swarmed the Egyptian homes and people, followed by a plague that killed the Egyptian livestock, a plague of boils upon the Egyptian men and beasts, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, and finally, the tenth and final plague of the death of the firstborn. With every miraculous act, they saw God separating them out and preserving Israel. The Egyptians would die and they would be spared. What incredible divine favor. When being chased to the edge of the Red Sea by Pharaoh's 600 plus elite chariots and officers, Moses said to Israel, "Remember, the Lord will fight for you. You only have to be still." The Lord parted the waters, allowing the Israelites to escape on dry ground before the waters fell upon back and drowned the chariots and the horsemen. Now, if they missed all of God's miracles before this point, that day the Israelites saw, first of all, the dead Egyptians on the seashore. Secondly, the great power of the Lord. And third, they finally believed in the Lord and in Moses, his servant. And then right after that, they celebrated. They had a Thanksgiving celebration. Immediately after, they had a party. They sang Miriam's songs of celebration and praise in Exodus 15. They rejoiced in singing, played tambourines, and danced. For the Lord was victorious and delivered them from Egypt. They gave thanks for the end in Egypt and the beginning to the promised land. This was a profound spiritual high, a great mountaintop retreat experience. But only three days later, the party was over and the grumbling and complaining began. Now they would wander for 40 years before they reached their final home. With about 2 million people, grumbling is dangerously contagious. The word has been translated as grumbling in many English versions. It's also translated and rendered as murmuring in the King James. But in modern English, we simply understand it as complaining. Now, I like the word murmur because murmuring connotes a low-sounding breeding of discontent. It is a dangerous sin. It's highly contagious and causes harm to everyone who joins in. The word murmur appears 40 times in the Bible. And when God's people murmur, they do it because their heart is disagreeing with God, with God's actions, but they voice their frustrations to others. Like the medical condition, the heart murmur, Israel's murmur was also an issue of the heart. Murmuring somehow makes people forget the goodness of God. This was not a generational loss of their children, who may not have personally remembered their immigrant suffering. It took merely 3 days after they left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea to forget what God has done for them. They grumbled about bitter water, and God heard them and made the water sweet and drinkable. On the same day, they left Elim and arrived in the wilderness. They grumbled about the lack of meat and bread, and God heard them and gave them low-flying birds, quail, and bread in the form of manna. What is it? And if you can imagine with me, it says that it's white, it's frosty, and it's flakes. So I have a jar of frosted flakes. And this is about the size of an omer. How hard is it to gather a jar of, what is it? Of frosted flakes for each of their daily portions. I imagine, like frosted flakes, to collect just enough for one day, one omer per person. But if it's spoiled overnight, the maggots and stink should remind them of the stinking plagues for disobedience. As they grumbled about the food, they actually said it. We had it better in Egypt. Like, seriously? Whippings, beatings, unreasonably harsh conditions, how they so quickly forget the immense mercy of God and the great power of God to deliver them. The Lord just delivered them from 400 years of slavery from the most ruthless and powerful nation in their world. Do they really prefer the old life in Egypt? It's like hearing a recovered addict lament and forget how the sin addiction had enslaved him and destroyed his life and his hope for a future. Would he ever want slavery again? So we have an attitude of gratitude advances the gospel, and B, ungratefulness detours faith. And finally, let this be our response of thanksgiving to God. Letter C, how believers express gratitude to God. When Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback studied how believers throughout the Bible express their gratitude to God, he did a word study in all the Bible, and he discovered that these three actions was what they did the most related to thanksgiving. In other words, these were God's love languages, how he delights us to say thanks to him. First of all, they sang back to God, singing back to God through thanksgiving song. God loves it when we sing praises and love songs to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. In Colossians 3, 16, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So sing your thanksgiving songs when you're cooking, when you're driving, when you're exercising, when you're taking a shower, at all times, with or without music. Secondly, Pastor Rick Warren found that the people of the Bible, they gave back to God, giving back to God through a thanksgiving offering. God loves it when we give back to him with thanksgiving offering. In that way, we acknowledge that all that we have comes from him. None of it is mine to keep. It is the time of the year to ask God, where shall I donate? Whom shall I support? And then honor God by giving back to God generously. In Psalm 54:6, I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, because it is good. In Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. So give back to God. Give generously to God. That is how we say thanks to him. And thirdly, this is another way that was most common. God loves it when we have communion with him. It's through the Thanksgiving cup. Thanksgiving song, Thanksgiving offering, and now the Thanksgiving cup. God loves it when we give thanks and remember the Lord's death and resurrection, our union with him and our union with the body of believers. Before the close of 2023, we still have a few opportunities to break bread together and celebrate that Thanksgiving cup. Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, O gracious Lord, for all that you are and all that we have received. Touch our lips and fill our hearts and empty our pockets and open our mouths to be joyful always, to pray continually and give thanks in every circumstance. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you rise with us as we sing Song of Response once again?